Welcome to Press Start, game development and how to become one. I am Adam Ardisa Smita, CEO Arsanesia and Vice President of Indonesia Game Association, will be your host for this episode. In this podcast, we will talk about game development and how to start your career as a game developer. We will invite experts from the game industry to tell us their game development journey to inspire us. I hope this podcast can help you start to be a game developer. And this podcast is brought to you by Indonesia Game Association and Goethe Institute Jakarta. Today, we are having a special guest from Germany. It's Linda. Hi, Linda.
Hey. Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. How about you?
I'm good as well. Thank you.
Awesome. Linda, before we start our discussion, I will let you quickly introduce yourself. Where are you working right now? What's your role in game development? And maybe if you have some titles that you want to promote, you can do this now. Please go ahead, Linda.
So I'm Linda Cruz. I founded The Good Evil, which is like an indie game studio, and we're doing educational games or games with a purpose. And I've founded the studio in 2013, and that's my like main job, like running the studio and being a game designer. And then I'm vice president of the board of GAME, which is like the German Games Association variant, so to say. I do as well teach. I'm a professor at University of Applied Science in Mainz, and I do teach game design. So yeah, that's the quick summary, I guess.
Awesome. All right, Linda, before we start our talk today, I would like to ask you to play a quick game. It's a rapid question.
Okay.
I will shoot you with a question and you can answer anything that pop up in your mind. First, there's no right or wrong, so you can answer anything.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. The first question. Do you remember what is the first gaming machine you own?
The one that I personally owned was a PC. But I did
PC.
Play with other. Yeah, it was a PC. But I did play with other consoles before. But yeah, my. The one that I own was a PC, yeah.
Do you remember the first game that you played?
that's difficult. I mean, it's something around either Pac-Man or something from the time. Pac-Man is very vivid in my mind, so I'll go with that.
All right. Next question. What is your favorite game genre?
I guess it's adventure.
Adventure.
Yeah.
Do you have any titles that you think is very memorable in that genre?
I like Beyond Good and Evil a lot, and I'm very much looking forward to the second part coming up. So that's as well. And I mean, the Super Mario series is as well very, I mean, that are like childhood memories, kind of. I think they stick the longest. The newer games I like as well, but I don't invest that much time in it because there's so many out there. So you don't have that amount of time. So yeah.
That's true. All right. Next question. What is the most memorable thing that you remember from Indonesia?
That's a very good question. There's so I need to pick one. That's super difficult. Because I mean, and I'm mixed between of course culture, the people, and food as well, and like the countryside. There's just so many. I think when I would need to pick one food item, it would be an avocado shake because that was the first one I had it with a chocolate kind of in it, and it was like super nice. So that's one of one of the good memories, but there's like a lot of them. So it's not easy to pick one.
That's okay. All right. This is the last question. One thing that you name one thing that you really want to do once this pandemic ends.
Yeah, well, I guess it's travel again.
Traveling.
Yeah. Like going somewhere else without, at least without worrying. Or, I mean, in addition to this, I would as well say go out with people, like in a restaurant or just like, I wouldn't say a party, but like a nice gathering where there's like more than two or so. So that would be fantastic.
Awesome. By the way, between this, I don't know, almost a year in this pandemic situation, do you work at home or do you still go to office?
We are in, like most of us are in home office since November. And then only like one person is in the office to like check what's going on there. So yeah, I mean, mostly in the in home office, and sometimes I just check the mail or something. But yeah,
all right,
home
okay,
with the cats.
So yeah, that's it for the rapid question. It's gonna help our listeners to know you better from the game that you play. The first title, they can guess maybe we are on the same period or not. All right. So in this podcast, we would love to talk about the journey in video game industry. And Linda, most our listener or audience is maybe still new or just wanted to start to jump in the industry. Maybe your story or journey can inspire them to how to start their career at game development. So for starter, the first question that I want to ask, do you remember when was the first time that you decided that, hey, I want to become a game developer as a profession for living? Do you remember when and what is the trigger?
Well, I mean, when I was in school, I always liked like media and media stuff, doing things with the computer, digital things. I did always play games, but it never came to me that early that I was like, oh, there's like jobs or there's a possibility to really work in video games. So I started my journey in the film business. I did producing and I did lots of storytelling and everything. Like there's lots of parallels between game development. And then back in the day when I finished my film studies, games were more and more becoming the interactive storytelling and like getting more emotional characters into games, that was like on the rise. And so I thought, well, I always liked technical things. I did programming before, so I saw that as really a cool market or an industry that where my skills might come in handy. So And then I did study game design. I did a master in game design in Cologne. And after that, I was like very sure that I do not want to go back to the film industry and that I want to continue to work in the games industry because it was like, I wouldn't say more fun, but like all of what a game, like developing a game entails, all of the different departments and the craft that comes together when building a game. I think that was something that I really, really liked and enjoyed. And then I knew that that's like the industry I want to be in, and that's where my future is.
I see. You did learn programming when you're in the college or high school? Or you learn by yourself?
I started as a kid when I was small. I did in the early days of the internet. I started like scripting or writing HTML and started with websites, and then I did a bit of PHP and JavaScript. So it was always like I did that for quite some time, but it wasn't like not. I didn't spend like the majority of my time or in college with this, but then occasionally, always when something needed to be done, especially in the web area, kind of then I tried that, or I used my skills. And then when I did my master in game design, I kind of went back to what I already knew, and then learned more, starting with as well JavaScript, and then later C#.
Is I'm interested in the master that you took is for game design. What make you choose the game design major rather than game programming? Since you already can code, right? Why don't you pick a major in game programming but you choose game design? Is that any specific reason for that?
Well, I think what I, as well, coming from the film industry, what I really like is like creating concepts, and really what my everyday work still looks like, and on some levels is like figuring out, okay, what experience do I want to bring to the player, and how do I want to, what can I do, what can I throw in the way of the player to give him or her the experience that I have in mind. And in our context, a lot goes around, okay, what should they learn, or what can I help them like figure out, discover when it comes to learning content or other things. So I'm more interested in the conceptual side, but I do go into technical game design as well, and figure out all of the variables and details and all of the rather, I wouldn't say mathematical stuff per se, but like the more technical details and the flow elements and all of that. So I think that's what I'm very good at, and other people are better in doing like all of the fine coding and everything that goes together. So I think it's rather a preference, because my strengths are better in the in-between space than in that being like a full-time developer programmer.
I see. And I'm also curious, because in Indonesia, I don't think there are any university that teach game design as a major. But in Germany, there are game design for formal studies. What do they teach in the game design class? Do they teach also how to make art, how to code, or only game design?
Well, I guess it depends on which university you attend, because I mean I think they have various depths or various parts they teach, and it depends as well. I mean, if it's a bachelor and you do it for 3 years, I mean that's not a lot of time to. I mean, at first you get of course a broad sense of games in general, and that counts for everything, and then you go into specifics, and then it depends. A, I think on you, and B, on the university where the focus is, because I think even in game design, it's such a broad area. And if you do game design for an indie game or for a AAA game, it's like so different, because like either you're a small team where you have to do everything, or you are in a team with 100 other people and you just have to do a small part. So your type of work varies a lot. And then especially in game design, when you have like a game design specification, I mean, you could also do rather more, have your focus on narrative design or level design or the technical game design. So, I mean, there's still a lot of in-depth knowledge that you need to acquire. And I guess it's a bit of that the universities try to cover a broader range, and then it depends on the students to go in detail in that area where they're most interested in.
I see. Because like I mentioned, I think like the knowledge about the role of a game design is still not very common, and there's no formal institution for you to learn in Indonesia how to be a game design. Maybe could you share a little bit about your role as a game design? What usually their responsibility, and what kind of skill that needed to be a good game designer?
I can give you an insight into this, but I as well would say it definitely varies from the type of studio and from the size. But in general, the game designer, I mean, there's like maybe there is already an idea or there's already a general vision where, you know, okay, we want to do, let's say, an adventure game and it features a character and you have certain types of mechanics like jumping and, I don't know, collecting things or shooting or whatever. And then the game designer would go into detail and figure out, okay, how exactly is every element of the game, how it should it look like, and what do you want to accomplish with all of the elements, how do the mechanics look in detail, so how high should the character jump, or how many treasures can you find, and what is the story behind. So it's really the broad concept of what the experience you're getting the player into is about. And then it has a lot to do with player guidance, thinking about, okay, what are the different types of players, how will they go on their journey through the game, and then of course lots of testing. And the game designers as well, I mean, again, depending on team size, responsible for communicating this vision and the details to the team. So telling the art department, okay, so, you know, we have an adventure and that's located on a mountain. So we need a mountain and we need trees and we need a character. And for the character, I think describing what you needed to be, like not exactly what you needed to look like, but what the functionalities of the look should convey to the player. So, and then of course to the programming side, okay, I want to be able to jump, I want to be able to collect things, and I need certain variables for that, and all of the logic on a broader sense you would communicate to the programmers, and then it really depends on the team if either the programmers then do all the work or if there's a back and forth between the game designer and the programmer. So yeah, that's I mean, it's a bit of communication, like writing out the vision and keeping the vision intact and communicating the vision to the team. I think that's like the main idea that I think a game designer is.
I see. That's really interesting. So usually do the ideas of what games are we going to make next, is it come from the game designer, or anyone can come up with the idea and a game designer can pick up from that to create the whole design for the game?
Well, I think it as well depends on the team and where you work. I mean, with ADAS, it is, I mean, the idea, I mean, everybody can throw in ideas. And of course, when you have a game, there's like 1,000 decisions to take. So I think the game designer's part in this is that, like, he or she makes sure that the vision and the decisions fit the overall game that you want to accomplish, and that you don't derail and think, oh yeah, you know, I've seen a feature in a different game and let's include that. But if it wouldn't work with your idea, with your game, it wouldn't make sense. So the game designer is usually like trying to keep things together and then decide on if there's other ideas coming, to decide if that fits, if it's feasible, if we should do it, if it solves problems. And I think the idea itself is like not, I wouldn't say it's not worth it, but the idea, the idea itself, it's easy because, I mean, you can have 1,000 ideas a day, but I mean, putting the work in it and to write the idea out in details and then to really develop the idea and to iterate on the idea, like to make it better, I mean, that's the crucial part of game design, or the crucial part of game development, and that's as well the hard part in it. So the ideas are great, but in the end, you need to really believe in the idea, because otherwise you would go through all the work to make it come to life. So that's the difficult part.
Yep. By the way, usually, if we want to tell that someone is a good artist, we can judge by how good is their drawing skill, how good is their art portfolio, or for game programmers, maybe we can measure their skill by, I don't know, perhaps challenge them with the hard case and solve them with a good algorithm. In your opinion, what makes a good game designer? What do you see from a game designer that you can tell, hey, you're a good game designer?
Well, it's that's a difficult question. I mean, as I said, it's like a super broad topic. And if you're specializing in level design, of course, you could as well give a task and let the level designer show that they think of how the players should navigate through the level and how the different points of like where there's interest points and where you want to guide them. So you can see the whole concept as well, and you can as well draw it and then like raid on this in this area. I mean, if you're a technical designer or just a general game designer, I think it comes down to, are you able to communicate your idea in a very efficient way? So I mean, you probably have like some kind of game design documents or some kind of written documentation of what you want to accomplish, and of course nobody wants to read a whole bunch of text, so it needs to be very efficient, it needs to be very short, and it needs to be on point communicating what you want, and it needs to have all of the elements that are needed. So I think it's as well, depending on the game that you do, it's really, are you able to communicate your vision in a very clear way for the range of all of the departments? So as well the art department, as well as the programmers, as well as the sound department. So I think you need a lot of, I'd say, people skills because there's like a broad mix of people working in game development, and you need to work with everybody to make sure that what your vision is comes to life.
All right. I think, yeah, that's really good. All right. We talk about game design for quite time now. I want to get back to you again about your journey in game industry. So when you graduated from your master degree in game design, did you work first at maybe a AAA game company or indie company to gain some experience, or directly founded a company?
I did. I did not work in a AAA game studio. I did. I do have work experience in the film industry and in distribution and marketing. But right after my master's, I founded the company because my master theory was the concept for a game. It included a squirrel and a bear, and it was about teaching kids learning English. And so I really wanted to do, I really wanted to create and develop this game, and I knew that I could only like bring this game that I have in mind to life if I do it on my own, because I was afraid that if I try to find somebody else who maybe finance it or some other company, that I would maybe not be able to bring it to life in the sense that I thought it needed to be. So that was like the starting point to founding The Good Evil, and then developing the game, and that was our first release in 2014. So the first own and major release.
Is it hard for you to start a company? I mean, is it hard to find the investment to start hiring, or to find your, if you have a team, how is it hard to find a team when you first started?
Well, I think the advantage was that, I co-founded with Marcus, who is, at the moment, or who is no longer with the company, but we were two. So I think founding a company with two people is always easier because you can divide workload and you can have two people work on different things at the same time. But our advantage was that we already worked in other fields. We had freelance jobs and we had previous work experiences and as well a network in Cologne where we founded, and that helped us get the message across. Yeah, there's a new game studio. You can hire us and we create your games. So we thought of a business model for the company and. Besides working on our own games, we always said, and right from the start, we're advertising us as a company that develops the games for clients as well. So that was part of our concept to get money and to have money to finance our games. So we didn't have any other investment. And the second very important part was that in our regional area, we have funding for games. So you have project funding. You can apply with an idea and say, okay, I need this amount of money. And we were very fortunate that they believed in our idea and they gave us a bit of money. And that enabled us to hire our first employee, which was a programmer. That was everything came together in a good way, but it was due to having a network, having a bit of, previous experience or knowing already a few people, and then having other on this side on the more of, more on the official side, to having people that believe in your idea, even though you're right out of university.
I see. Is it the funding that you mentioned from the Cologne, is it a loan or is it a grant? Or
That is a... what is it in English? So that is a loan, but you don't have interest on it. So you get the money, you can develop the game, and then when you release it, whatever... So you have your own costs. So the money you invested yourself, and you then have the possibility to get the money that you invested yourself back first. And once you have all your money back, then you split the profit 50-50 up until you repay the loan. But if you don't manage to repay to pay back the loan within 5 years, then they just forget about it and say
about it.
Yeah.
That's very nice of them.
yeah, it is. It's really a very fair way because they of course have an interest in getting money back, but they rather see it as an investment and as help settling down companies and help building companies. Because if it wouldn't be for them, we wouldn't be able to hire our first employee. And of course the state makes money with the taxes we pay for the employees. So it's not that, they get not the loan back, but they get as well money from different channels back, so to say. And then overall it paid off because now it's 8 years later, we are still there, we grew the company, so it was a good investment, I think.
I see. Is it something that special only happening in Cologne, or every area in Germany has this kind of program from their government?
So the area, Cologne is located in North Rhine-Westphalia. So this is our region, and the grant or the funding is you can apply for it when you're in the region. And in the other German regions, there's as well kind of similar programs. Not in every region it's the same, but some have more money than others, unfortunately. But today or at this time, most of the regions have funding, and then fairly new since the pandemic year, since last year or the year before, I think it's even 2019, we have as well a federal funding for games where we worked really hard for. So we're very, very happy that that's now happening. So we have something around 50 million euros per year as funding opportunity for games. Wow. At the moment. Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, it is. It's very nice. Yeah, and we hope that we can like both grow more small studios but as well more bigger studios. So to have a broader range and yeah, in general better games coming from Germany. Or I wouldn't say the games are worse or bad now, but to like just in general create more games that come from Germany. Yep.
I see. Talking about game, you are now also vice chairwoman of the game German Game Industry Association, right?
Yes.
What makes you? In your day to day activity, maybe you already. Your schedule is full with making your own games and creating games. And what makes you want to spare your time to work or to join in the association?
I think it's super important. That's as well something that is like in that gets more popular from year to year, but it's still I think a very important topic. So one part is like the diversity aspect of the industry. So to really I have a few areas regarding. So I see there's the games industry is growing very fast, and I'm very happy that I be part of it for quite some time. But I as well see that there's like potential to be better in certain areas. And one of these areas is like diversity. So to really allow and encourage people from various backgrounds to join the industry, because then we can make better games that are as well catering for a more diverse audience. And in general, I think it helps the work environment and like helps the industry to grow and be better. So this is like an important part. And the second part is as well getting more games into schools and as well more digitalization of the school system itself. And those two things itself are very big topics, and you wouldn't be able as a like small indie developer to say, oh yeah, you know, I think we should have more diversity. So I think you need to have an association to be more than one person to really make it a valid point and as well make it easier to talk to the politicians and to really be able to make a change. And the third aspect was the funding, where, as I said, we worked quite a long time for, and it was a long journey to get us in the position that we are now. So that's as well, that was as well part where I thought, okay, it does help us, but in general, it helps the whole industry, and what helps the whole industry does help us as well. So I think it's rather a broad, I want this industry to be better, and that's why I'd like to put my time in that and to help others to become part of the industry or to grow.
That's awesome. Three problems that you mentioned: diversity, you want more games into school, and the funding. First, I'd like to know more about the diversity, because I don't think in Indonesia this topic is rising. I mean, like, is it about the percentage between male and or female, or what kind of diversity that we are talking about now?
Well, it's everything. it is some kind of I wouldn't say part of it is a European perspective. Part of it maybe as well be common in North America as well. I know that it's not a big topic in Indonesia because you don't have like these cultural prejudices around women in technical jobs that we have. But for us, it's still through the past and through how children are still brought up and through what some people still believe, it's a bit... It's a bit not, or let's say we have a, there could be more female programmers or female developers in the industry, and that's like one aspect of it. So I think that's one part, but diversity in general, I think it's not about the gender per se. It's as well about cultural aspects or being more accessible to persons with disabilities. So I think it's really the broad spectrum of being open for every person, no matter where they're from, because they all have their personal experiences. And if you have those, and if they work on games, you can as well make games that have all these different like perspectives in mind. And then as well, you can create games that is reach a broader audience. So I think it's very important to have like, you know, just people with a lot of different experiences, you can say, and if all of them work together on a game, the game definitely will be better. So that for me is like the diversity part.
I see. Is the challenge is in the still lack of interest from diverse people to jump in the game industry, or there is a kind of, I don't know, maybe a rejection or maybe something that push the more diverse community to work in game industry?
Well, I mean, I think there's like various aspects, but one part is that maybe people don't think of taking a job in the industry because they have the feeling that they are not welcomed there. So definitely we don't want that because we are very welcoming industry. And I think the second part, it's not, or that as well is something that I like get to know or that I hear about a lot is that it's not the community, it's not the the developer community or the other developers or the studios, but it's sometimes the community that is very restrictive, or there's like a lot of people on social media that are like, no, we don't want that certain types of persons work in the games industry because they fear that they create other games and that they take away their games that they like. So it's really rather a strange perspective that, and it's not a lot of people, but they are very loud and they can be very nasty. That's something that you come across easily, and then you're like, okay, what's happening here? I don't want to be part of and target of like an angry mob kind of. Yeah, so. I think that are like two aspects of it. But as I said, I mean, at least from my perspective, it gets better, but you really need to be as well loud and very encouraging to as well tell those people, okay, your perspective is like not okay and we are not agreeing with this. So I think it's more about this, and then that the cool people that want to join the industry, that they are not afraid of doing so.
I see. All right. Okay. And you need to be loud to make sure the openness and to encourage people to join in the game industry. Usually, how do you do that? I mean, do you make like a campaign in social media or in television, something like that, or you push the regulation to the government, something like that?
We have a campaign that really encourages and reflects that we really encourage all people to come and develop games, but that we as well encourage like diverse communities, so that everybody who wants to play our games should do so, and that there's like nothing that should hold them back, and that we're very very open and like to make it possible that they are able to play the games. So with the campaign, of course, I think it's a lot as well about role models, so that you have really a broad representation of either women or like more diverse people in general, to do interviews, to do talks, to just say, okay, yeah, you know, I'm a developer and you could be too. So if you see, if another woman sees a woman saying that, it's easier to believe that you could be in this position. So that's I think is as well a big part in it, to get that across. And then, to be very loud and I guess to stand up to the bullies and say, okay, it's not cool. I mean, I don't know who raised you, but that's like not acceptable in my eyes. So but it's as well. I mean, I think that's the toughest part, because it drains a lot of energy and it focuses a lot of energy on people where I'm like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you, but I mean, I as well don't want to have your voice be so loud and I don't agree with it, and I don't think that the majority of the industry agrees with it.
I see. This is okay. I have a story, and this is now really become make sense, because when this podcast is gonna be in the first season, gonna be like 15 episodes with 10 speakers from Indonesia and 5 speakers is from Germany. Mm-hmm. And when I'm searching for speakers, especially for Germany, I approach guys from the Game Mixers and guys I met on Twitter and Subladen, and I met someone, I don't know if you know him, Lorenzo. He's now at, he was in Subladen when I visit there, and now I think he joined the team with Riyadh. Do you know him?
Yep.
And the interesting part is, at first I'm quite surprised, but now it makes sense. When I ask him, are you interested to be in the podcast? And what he answers to me is like, before I commit something, can you a little bit tell me about the lineup of the speakers? Is there how many men, how many women? Is it diverse? Something like that. And that's quite interesting and inspiring. That's something that I think we need to put our mind into that when we're making event in Indonesia also, to make sure every representation is there to talk. I think that's quite nice.
Yeah, and that's as well an important part, like to make sure that if you have, I mean, we had like the DevCom had a diversity segment or a change summit segment, I think last week or the week before. It's super nice to see that you can do a lineup where there is like a broad representation of genders and cultural backgrounds. And it's so fun and so refreshing to see all these different ideas and all these different perspectives. And not only, I mean, from our perspective, I was at a conference, I mean, was in terms of I attended it digitally this week, and there was like the whole morning you could just see white males talk, and it was, they were nice and they had like nice points, but it really as well then thinks that like, I think I'm so used to now see more diversity that it really... You can really tell like the difference. It definitely, I mean, it feels better, or I have the feeling that as well the ideas and the knowledge is broader. So yeah, we try to get to at least 50-50 kind of setup, and to really look for how the setup is, and that it's not so male dominated. To give everybody a fair chance.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. And definitely in Indonesia, every event that we're going to make in the future, we'll put that in mind.
Great.
All right. Okay. So, we talk about in this part. So I still have a lot of questions for you, but I don't think I can ask everything in this episode because we only have 1 hour duration. So for the next part is that still talking about your role at the association, you mentioned about the getting games into school. So is it still a problem? I mean, the problem in the talent side, like Is it hard for game developers in Germany to find good talent in Germany? So you need to make sure the school teach about game development, or are there any problem that you see that this is the reason why you want more games going to school?
Well, it's not only games. It's, I think, about more digital media things in school. I mean, the school system is fairly old, and it has not undergo a lot of like innovations or changes. So you always have these teacher that's in front of the class, and then you have books and you read from books. And I mean, so it's I mean, there is like, it's not the only type of like classroom interactions there are, but it's still very focused on a very traditional setup. And I mean, the kids nowadays they grow up with social media, they grow up with the internet, and nobody like teaches them how to use it. And then it comes down to either having some cool teachers who know and how know it and how know how to use it and how to include it maybe in the classrooms. It comes down to the teacher, not to the parents. So media education is something that's like not very common yet. I mean, there are, I wouldn't say that it doesn't happen, but it's not as broad and incorporated into the classrooms that I would like to see it. And I think a big problem goes around that a lot of teachers think that using games or using media is kind of bad, and they have like a bad, really a bad picture in mind when it comes to using digital or interactive things in the classrooms, and so they don't do it. I mean, there's of course other problems. I mean, accessibility to to tech. Not everybody has their own phone and various systems and all of this. So it's not easy to make that happen. But if you have a teacher who really wants that his or her students learns a lot, they don't care about the method as long as the method like makes sure that they know more than before. So those teachers usually use games or digital applications or other things, but it's like not as easy for them to use them because the system itself is a bit difficult, so to say. I think it's important that all of the teachers and as well all of the people who instruct the teachers, that they know that this is an important topic, and that that the kids in the future are able to learn with the devices and on the devices they already have, and that they learn all of the advantages and make use of all of the cool technology things already in school, and that they don't like need to fiddle out or fiddle around on their own, and then try out on their own how to use those. So I think that's the big aspect. And I mean, we have a lot of we have like these book companies who do the school books, and of course they sometimes do a bit of we have an app, and the app is basically the book but in a digital format. There's like no innovation in it. So okay, you could do. I mean, doing or creating educational games is definitely more expensive than creating a book. But still, I mean, for certain areas and certain subjects, it would be so easy to include games that are already on the market, and I would be happy if they do it and if they experiment with it, because I think it would improve the experience in the classroom. And I mean, with the pandemic, it's like a mixed bag. On one, when it started, I was like, yes, now finally they need to do everything digital, and now they can learn. But I mean, 1 year in some schools, it improved. In others, it's still a super disaster. And so, but I mean, maybe they now did understand, okay, it is important that we think of alternative methods of teaching. And yeah, we'll see what the future brings. But I think that's at least the important part for me to be able to get the children a better, more future-proof education that then eventually they do learn programming in school, and then eventually they're a bit better prepared for maybe working in the tech industry or something like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, especially with this kind of situation in the pandemic, like all of the school is pushed to go digital, and this is the right momentum to educate them about using games as a part of the learning method. Actually, like, this is the topic that I really interested, and since I also make education games, and I really want to talk to you with you about it more, but I think our time is running out. So for the last statement, Linda, for all of the audience who listen our podcast right now, who is maybe just wanting to start to the join into the game industry, do you have any, maybe some kind of tips based on what you experience and you learn from them to start the journey as a game developer?
Well, I think what I did at the beginning as well, and what I really enjoyed, is the annual Global Game Jam, which is always in the last week or weekend in January. And I mean, usually there's like a lot of on-site locations, but let's see how next year is happening. But if it's digital again, but I think this is a super cool possibility to meet other developers from either if it's hobby developers or developers who are already working in the studio, and then get a bit of experience and really try out with small little funny games, creating a game on the weekend and experimenting and yeah, figuring out, okay, what job in the industry would maybe be something that works for you, and then yeah, try yourself out and do little games, and then maybe through this building a vision of what you want to do, and then yeah, like with a bit of like a bit more experience, and then a bit we're like creating small games and seeing how cool it is to build those in a very short amount of time. Maybe then the next steps can be thought of and taken.
All right. Okay, I think that's really cool. I think Global Game Jam is one entry point that you can get a taste of how is it to make a game, right?
Yeah, and as well, I think meeting other people and then getting experience and knowledge very quickly. I think if you work with like a mixed team of experienced and non-experienced people, you can get an idea of how games are made fairly quickly. So if you are interested in games but you have not done a game before, I definitely suggest either the Global Game Jam, and I mean, there's other initiatives and I'm sure you have like other events as well in Indonesia, but I think this is like, because it is global and because you can see and follow so many people around the world doing the same thing, and as well playing all the games or some of the games that are developed on that weekend, I think it's a great experience and helps you as well have a better picture of what the industry is about and what it can be like to work in it.
All right. Thank you very much, Linda, for your time to share with us in this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. All right. So that's it for today. I hope this session can give you insight and courage to press start. Start your career as a game developer. I'm Adam Arisa Smita. Keep playing games, start making games. Bye, Linda. Thank you.
Bye, Adam. Bye.